Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliet Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Juliet, hello. How are you today?
Christy Lee, I'm fine. How are you going?
Yeah, good, good. It's a good day. Nice and sunny here. How is it where you are?
It's Melbourne. It was sunny a minute ago. It's cloudy now. It'll be raining later. Hail this evening, you know.
Oh, just all, I love it. All the seasons.
Yep, we're used to it now. Nobody even complains about it.
No, you'd be complaining if it was just sunny all day. It'd be boring.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. We like our seasons.
Yeah. Very good. Well, today we've got an interesting topic we are juggling with. We're talking about setting and upholding boundaries.
Yes. Yes. And look, this is one I have to say, I have struggled with this over the years, particularly when I was first running a business. I had no boundaries anywhere. And I think it's worth talking about, you know, what boundaries are for a start, because I was really conscious then that there really were no boundaries on my personal life, at work, with my team. I was studying, you know, there was just nothing going on. And I think boundary, you know, often when we think of boundaries, we think of them as just one thing. Whereas to me, I think there can, we need boundaries around work hours and around, you know, our expectations of what our team will deliver, our expectations of what we deliver. You know, that we need boundaries around things like leave.
Yeah.
I see often in teams I'm working with, particularly when morale is low, people taking leave all over the place and really inappropriately when no boundaries in place. But even just financially, I think things like refunds. You know, I was working with someone the other day who has got a whole lot of people asking for refunds at the moment for something that's beyond their control. But just that need to hold boundaries around things like that, I think, is really important too.
Definitely. And I think boundaries are, I think we often mistake them for really hardcore rules, and that's why we're so bad at setting them, particularly early in our leadership careers. I think we just want to be nice to everyone and we don't want to be like the bossy boss. But they're not really hardcore rules. They are expectations. And they're expectations that might, for example, give someone some knowledge as to where their authority starts and ends, you know, up to this level of, like you're talking about financial responsibility, you make those calls. That's your boundary. Beyond that, that's when you need to come to me. So it's not even about setting rules. It's actually also about giving expectation and responsibility and authority to people so that they know where that line is and where that line is drawn.
Oh, you're frozen there for a second. Around expectations, I think you're right. And I think part of the problem is often we don't articulate the boundaries. So until they've been breached, really.
Yes.
So instead of being upfront and saying, here's my expectation, or here's what I am prepared to do or put up with or whatever, we wait until it's been becomes a problem, and then we go, oh, actually, no, that's overstepped a boundary that I forgot to tell you was a boundary.
And I think that's a good point. If we haven't told them the boundary, there is no boundary. It doesn't exist if we haven't said it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes even for ourselves, we haven't told ourselves it's a boundary too.
That's interesting. Yes, that's a really interesting point, because if we aren't clear ourselves on what our own boundaries are, how can we possibly expect to lead a team with any sense of boundaries?
I think this issue is exacerbated at the moment too, when we're working virtually and we're working in with a hybrid team structure or even just a completely virtual team structure. I think often boundaries get pushed without without anyone meaning to, but just because we're not all together and we're not checking some of those boundaries.
Yeah.
So people at home are sort of able to run off on a bit of a frolic. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else might feel under pressure to be on the same level or to be working at the same pace or whatever it is. And I think that creates real difficulties for holding boundaries at that point.
Yeah, because the boundaries have changed now that we're working in a different way. So boundaries that may have once been very, very clear when we were all working in the one side of the one office have changed now, and perhaps we haven't been particularly good at talking about those changes or communicating those changes or even putting those changes in place. So there has been a lot of change, I think, around boundaries, and we might it might be a good time for a lot of businesses to circle back and reestablish and reset those boundaries, I think.
I think it's a perfect time. And I think also just as individuals, as leaders, I think we need to be really conscious of the whole role modelling, you know, the boss watching that goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we are demonstrating that, you know, we have no boundaries around work hours, for instance.
Yeah.
If we're never taking a break, if we're never sort of stepping back and relaxing, or even just, you know, turning up to informal virtual gatherings like an afternoon tea or Friday drinks and just chilling with everybody, that we're setting those sort of setting non-existent boundaries, which is ridiculous. You know, we're just saying there are no boundaries at that point.
Yeah.
And when people are looking for boundaries, they're looking to their leaders for that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. People, yeah, they want to be led by example. It's our number one tool, I think, we have in our, you know, leadership arsenal. And if we're not setting that example, our team have got no guide to follow, or the guide they're following is not going to be a great one. So we absolutely need to lead by example. If we're going to set boundaries for our team, we have to be the first to follow that and uphold that as well. So not only have we got to stop ourselves from stepping out of the boundary, we've also got to make sure when our team start to step out, we're the first ones frontline pushing back, having the difficult conversation, or just having a conversation to say, hey, that's an overstep of the boundary. And it might, I think, some of the biggest challenge that I see come up is when boundaries get broken or breached, it's usually by a little tiny bit at first. And the example I love to use is the employee who was once always 15 minutes early suddenly starts to turn up just on time for work. You know, this is a gradual change. And so that gets under your skin a little bit because they're now suddenly making a cup of tea for 5 minutes and not really working until 10 past. And it's a slow creep. And you don't say anything at first because you think, oh, it's only a couple of minutes. It's not that big a deal. And suddenly, lo and behold, they're half an hour late for work every day. And you as the manager or the leader just blow your gasket and get so infuriated and end up, you know, having a really confrontational conversation with them. Mm. And all they see is you've reacted to the last 2 minute change that they've made because they don't understand that this has been building up for months maybe because you haven't told them that it's been bothering you. And failure to have those early conversations usually leads to a much bigger issue than it ever needs to.
I think that's so interesting. And you've reminded me of a team I was working with last year where they had an opposite problem where the leader was starting to work later in the afternoon and into the evening. And he was then sending emails and requesting documents and things, you know, and it started off just that, you know, he wanted something at 5:30. And then it was sort of he would ask for it at 5:30 and can you get it to me this evening? You know, and so this scope creep kind of happened. This boundary got pushed out and it took the team a long time to say, actually, this needs to stop because now it's 9 p.m. And we've got team members online and this is not good for anybody's mental health. This is not good for the way we work. And it happened by degrees. You're right. And little by little these things happen.
Yep.
And at what point do you say, actually, this has to stop?
Yeah, and you know, in that case, you're lucky that you have a courageous team that are willing to have that conversation with you because many teams wouldn't. They'd just get disengaged and probably leave. So
that's it,
thankfully that's a strong team that's able to say that. But you're exactly right. There's a quote I'm thinking of that says something like a lack of boundaries invites a lack of respect. So if you're not demonstrating boundaries, you're undermining that trust, that respect that you've built with your team. So it has a much bigger flow-on effect than simply just asking someone to do something outside of the normal working hours. It impacts the team in a much bigger way.
I think it also, when you talk about respect, I think it is a measure of self-respect as well.
Yes.
That you respect yourself enough to say, I'm actually going to take a break from this,
mm-hmm.
or I'm actually not going to allow that to happen because that's not good for me or for the business I'm leading or whatever it is. Or that's, you know, you're not thinking of the bigger picture. So I think there's definitely an element of self-respect in there.
Absolutely. I think people that are good at setting boundaries in their personal life also tend to be better at setting them at work. But yes. Those of us, and I think it is something that is a learnt skill. It's a skill that we're not, you know, inherently born with. Those of us that aren't great at setting boundaries in our personal life, and I think this is quintessential of younger leaders, but not, you know, exclusive to them. We're often at a younger age not so great at setting those boundaries in our personal life. And that creeps into our work life, where as we grow and mature, we tend to get better at it across the board, and it translates in. So if we can impart this knowledge into our younger leaders of the importance of setting boundaries across their whole life, they're going to be much better at doing it at work too.
It's so true, but gosh, it's confronting. I had a conversation with someone the other day and they had a boundary and I was trying to cross that boundary and they were just like, actually, no, I don't do that. You know, and I was like, whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, and it made me pause and go, well, good on you
yes.
for actually saying that.
Yeah. Because possibly we could work on that communication a little bit.
But. Absolutely. Yeah. But it was just such one of those moments where you just go, oh, that's quite confronting. But actually, I'm so pleased you did that because now I'm really clear about, you know, where you're coming from. And I can adjust what I needed. It wasn't vital. You know, it was just a great demonstration. As you say, there's a generation coming through, and I think it can be confronting. But I agree; I think it's a really healthy thing that they are saying, actually, I have boundaries,
yes.
and I'm prepared to hang on to them and hold them. And I see this being taught at schools now, so which is such a good thing.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. It's because it's a life skill.
For those of us who grew up with none of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe it was just us as younger leaders that weren't so great at it. The next generation would be totally fine. Maybe they'll even be too strong. But no, I do think it is genuinely something that you've got to get good at. You've got to be able to set the boundaries. But even more importantly, you've got to be willing to uphold them, which can mean a tough conversation, which can mean a confrontational kind of discussion.
Yeah.
But you've got to be prepared to do whatever is required to uphold them. And if things do get overstepped, you know, there's always a way back. It's like, you know, you can either start to push back or say, you can own it. You can say, look, I should have pulled you up on this earlier and I didn't, but this is what I meant to tell you now.
Yeah. I think that's so true. I was actually coaching someone the other day around exactly that, where I said, it's not too late.
Yeah.
You go back, you own it and you say, I should have put this in place. I should have said this. I didn't.
Mm.
Here's what I need.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, you're right. It's never too late. You know, and I talk about assertiveness a bit with leaders, and I think it's such an old-fashioned term. I don't really like it, but there's not really a better one yet.
Mm.
But this idea of sort of standing up for yourself without actually infringing on anybody else's rights or, you know, crossing anyone else's boundaries, but being clear about what is important for you and what's right for you, I think is where it all starts, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unapologetic honesty. About what it is that you need to communicate. And I think it is not always easy, but it is definitely something that, it's not too late to revert, to pull back. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to remember too, people actually want boundaries. We think they don't, but people want to know what we expect from them. And part of that is, where is the line here? Where can I go outside of this sphere that I'm working in? You know, where am I going to get in trouble? They actually want to know that. And when they don't know that, they're just flying blind. They could be going anywhere.
I think that's so true. And I think we so often don't acknowledge that. And sometimes I work with leaders who don't want to impose boundaries because they see it as imposing something on people.
Yes.
But I agree with you. I think people want to know what are the parameters here? And then I can, you know, either make that work or I can tell you where I want to stretch them a bit or whatever, but at least you understand where those lines are.
Absolutely. And this is why the responsibility and authority part is so important too, because You can give people task boundaries, but it's very limiting. But if you can give bigger boundaries around levels of authority or resourcing or whatever it is that they might need to do their job and stretch to the next level, certainly, then they're very clear at what point the decision is with them and at what point the decision is with you. And, of course, you always want to have, I think, a default, you know, this is your boundary. But if you're uncomfortable or if you're unsure, come to me at this point or I trust you, get it done. Because I think there's always, you know, sometimes that little bit of fear with the team as well.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think this is going to move into a whole lot of other conversations that we have as well, because I think there's a whole lot of this. So when we talk about delegation, this whole idea of delegating decision-making, not just delegating tasks. So I think we'll have to do an episode on that, because I think that's also a goodie and one that I think we forget. Often we just delegate the tasks and we've got people coming back to us. And so I'm going to park that for another episode.
Definitely. Delegating is an art. So we definitely need to do a whole episode on that, because it's also, it's a tricky part of managing people.
It totally is, yes. But I think this is too, and I think mostly because it's invisible. And I think the more we can make boundaries a bit visible, the better off our team will be and the better off we are.
Yeah.
Because I think there's real value in articulating them, or at least being conscious of them.
Absolutely. And it's articulating them at an individual level about positions and roles and responsibilities, but also at a team level. The boundaries about this is how we do things around here. This is what we do if there's a problem or a mistake. This is how we support each other. Those, I don't want to call them softer boundaries, but those less role specific, less target specific, but the boundaries that actually make your culture work how you want it to.
Well, I was going
to
say they're cultural boundaries, aren't they? This is the above and below the line behaviour that sits within culture. You know, so what's acceptable, what's not. You know, often what I see is organisations that, you know, they talk about being family friendly, and yet, you know, you see these emails flying around at odd hours of the night and meetings called at 7 a.m. or people still being held back at work at 6 o'clock and, you know, that sort of, and that's not family friendly.
No, actually, that reminds me, I've heard so many stories recently about this, but recently someone in my family joined a business in a media communications role, and it was a really intense interview process. So I remember pulling her aside and saying, this seems a bit heavy for the role you're going for. I think it might have been six interviews, ridiculous. Oh. And I had some red flags that possibly this wasn't quite the culture she was being promised. She was being promised a very inclusive culture, all remote workers, you know, a culture that really appealed to her, the sort of worker that she is. And when she arrived, and very early on, she realised the culture was nothing like all the lip service that had been paid to it. You're expected to work really, really long hours. You're expected to work at one or two levels of authority above your pay rate after you arrived. The expectations versus what was promised were so separate. And the problem is, when you do that, you're telling people early on that these are our values and boundaries and culture, this is how we do things. If it's not real life lived, you're not going to keep people, because you're attracting the wrong people into your business. So
totally, and you're breaking that psychological contract, which is all that stuff that people come in expecting to happen and it doesn't. And that's just such a waste of everybody's time, isn't it? So frustrating.
And that's a you know, early days boundaries. This is recruitment, induction, onboarding kind of boundaries being broken all over the shop. It's, you're wasting their time and yours. It's not good for business. It's not good for anyone.
No, not at all. I agree. So we need to be clear about them. We need to be clear, and we need to articulate, I think, is what we're saying.
Absolutely. Be clear, articulate, and uphold.
And don't be scared to push back if you need to. You know, if the boundaries have drifted, it's okay to push them back in and then uphold too.
Absolutely. Just reset. There's no trouble with resetting when you realise that it's gone a little bit haywire for whatever reason. And I think this quote is really powerful when we talk about this. You demand and you encourage what you tolerate.
Yes.
And what I love about that quote is you encourage what you tolerate. If you're going to encourage, if you're going to tolerate behaviour that's outside of the boundaries, you're only encouraging people to do that behaviour more.
Yes, totally, because you're saying it's okay. And if it's okay once, well, of course it's going to be okay again.
Yep.
Yes, I totally agree. And just this idea that we tolerate things too. You know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Where we sort of go, oh, look, I'll deal with it next week. Or, oh, look, I won't worry about it this time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when we tolerate in that way, we are setting ourselves up for all sorts of problems around boundaries being pushed.
Definitely. Yeah. All we're doing is giving that person or that team the green light to keep going.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
Which is not ideal. So I think that's the key messages. And I think next episode we should definitely chat around boundaries, around connecting and disconnecting at work, because that is a huge issue right now with our new hybrid and online working models. So I think that's a whole discussion in itself.
Yep, cool. I agree. All right, I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.